Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to our March 22nd worship service. And Kathy, I'm going to ask you to start with our prelude. Now we'll have our call to worship.
Return, people of God, for rest and renewal. Come to the source of life for new breath. God has heard our voices and listened to us. God's mercy saves and preserves us. Give thanks to God, who is gracious and righteous. Walk before God in the land of the living. We bring our doubts and fears, our work and worries, to this time of reflection and refreshment.
Let us bow for prayer.
O God, we come to you from the valleys where there are dry bones. Sometimes we have passed them by. Sometimes they are us. Sometimes we have tried to breathe life into them apart from your Spirit's energizing power. Set a vision before us today that the dry bones may hear your word, respond to your breath, and live. Lead us, we pray, to that realm where people are no longer bound, but know the freedom of resurrection to new life in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Now we'll have our first lesson.
The first lesson this morning comes from Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 6 through 11. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you.
Now I'd like to just take some time to be in prayer. If you have prayer concerns for next week, you can send them either to my email or to the church email. For those of you at Phelps, you can send them to Ruthie, and she'll make sure that I get them. Our prayer requests that I have this week are for Bobby Barton, who's home from the hospital, but still in need of prayers, for Bob Smith and Bob Green, who are having health concerns, prayers for them. Pauline Hoxie, who is still in Manor Care. I talked to Pauline this week, and she said she may be coming home next week. So we rejoice in that and just ask that God would continue to be with Pauline. And for Pat Rummings, who is at home. We would like to lift up all those who are struggling with the coronavirus, lift up those who are working with them, the doctors and the nurses, to lift up our political leaders as they struggle to do the necessary things or the right things in dealing with this worldwide pandemic. Our military personnel who are spread throughout the world, we lift them in prayers, especially at this time when they're separated from their families. Let us now bow for prayer. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for this day that you've given us, for this opportunity, even in the midst of these difficult times, to come together as your church in spirit. As we come together as one people in many places, we just ask that you would be with us, that you would give us your strength and your courage, and just help us to be your people and to reach out to others. We ask that you would be with Bobby as he is in need of your touch for renewing power. We just ask that you would work in him. We ask that you would be with both Bob Smith and Bob Green as they are also struggling with health problems. We just ask that you would continue to be with them as we lift them up before you. We praise you for what you've already done in Pauline and just ask that you would continue to work in her to renew and strengthen her. And we ask that you would continue to be with Pat. We praise you for the healing power that you have blessed her with, and we ask now that you would continue to be with her. We ask that you would be with all those who are struggling to fight this virus. We just ask that you would give them wisdom, that you would provide for them and give them safety. We ask that you would be with our military personnel as they are spread throughout the world. We just ask that you would give them your safety, that you would be with their families as they are separated from one another. We just ask that you would guide and direct this church as we are your people here in this place where you have put us. Guide and direct all that we do, that we may serve you. And now, Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy come, word be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, we will have our second hymn now, which, if you have a hymnal, is 707, the Hymn of Promise. Above there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, speaking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death a resurrection, at the last a victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Now we'll have our sermon text. Our sermon text comes from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37, starting in verse 1 through verse 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. To these bones, I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Just a little bit of background that I need to share with you as we start talking about this passage in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is speaking at a time in history when the Jewish people have been taken into captivity. It's somewhere in the area after 589 BC and probably before 550 BC, when the people are in captivity in Babylon and they feel like they've been cut off from their land, cut off from the land that they lived in, and they are complaining to God and to Ezekiel. A little background on Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a man who had spent his life studying to be a priest. And before he had the opportunity to become a priest, he was taken into captivity in Babylon, and God called him to be a prophet to the people. Most of the time, Ezekiel's prophecy was to the people who were left back in Israel, because not everybody was taken out of Israel. There were actually two different times that they were taken into captivity. The first time they were taken into captivity was 589 BC, and that's when Ezekiel and all of the young princes, all of the young men of Israel, the leadership, the future leadership of that country, were taken into captivity. And then a number of years later, there was a second captivity when most of the rest of the people were taken into captivity. So the time that Ezekiel is speaking is that time between the first people being taken into captivity and the second people being taken into captivity. And in this passage, we see God telling Ezekiel to prophesy, and he shows him a vision. A vision of a valley of dry bones. Dry bones reminds us of death, of destruction. But it also, for us, reminds us how we feel when we are struggling. We feel like we're just all dried up. There's nothing that we can do. I think this is such an appropriate passage for what we are facing at this time in the history of the world. We feel like we don't have any control, that this little itsy-bitsy virus has control of us, and it's leading us where we don't want to go. Every day we wake up and more people have become infected and more people have died. And this is sort of the same situation that the Jewish people are in. Everything has been taken away from them. They've been taken into captivity and they feel like they don't have any control. Someone else or something else is making all the decisions for them. They feel like their God has left them behind. And if you read about the people in the book of Ezekiel, you'll see this is their one complaint, that they believe God has left them, that God is not with them. But there's a beautiful passage in Ezekiel where Ezekiel sees a vision of God in the temple, which is where God dwells in the temple in Jerusalem. But in Ezekiel's vision, the glory of God is like a cloud. And Ezekiel sees the glory of God leave the temple and go out the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem. Because God loves his people so much, even though they are in captivity, and they're in captivity because they refuse to follow God, that God is going with them. And Ezekiel paints this beautiful picture of the glory of God leaving the temple and going to be with his people in Babylon. We may feel like God is not with us. We may feel like we have no control, and we may not have any control. The reality is there's so little in our lives that we do have control over. But the one promise that we have from God is that God is in control and that God is guiding and directing things. I would like it so much better if God would send me a note every once in a while saying, this is what I have planned for the coming year. Or maybe even better, the next 2, 3, or 4 years, so that I can plan so that I don't have to depend on God on a daily basis and we can get everything all worked out. But it doesn't work that way. We're called to depend on God on a daily basis. And in the midst of a time when we feel like God isn't with us, like we're drying up, that we're just falling apart, basically, this passage reminds us what Ezekiel tells the people of Israel. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything that's going on. You may feel like God is not there, but God is with you. Not only is God with you, but God is going to strengthen you, and God is going to lead you back to where he wants you to be, to lead you back to your land. He's going to put you all back together again. He's going to put everything back together again. I think one of the fears we have right now is that nothing's ever going to be the same. That things are just coming apart at the seams. Or, in using the analogy of this passage, coming apart at the joints. That we've just fallen apart. But we need to remember that God is in charge. And God is going to give us the strength that we need and the power that we need to get through this situation. He tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the people. Those who feel like they've been broken and torn apart, and tell them that I am going to restore them. That I am going to put my breath back in them and I am going to renew them as my people. That's the promise. The promise that after all that we go through, we'll turn around and God will still be there. We need to remember that at this time, to remember that God is still our God and God is in charge. No matter what the world seems to look like, no matter what seems to be happening, God is going to restore us. God is going to give us the strength that we need if we'll depend upon Him. The people said to Ezekiel, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." But Ezekiel says from God, "Your bones are not dried up. You are not without hope, and you are never cut off from God." He gives us the same message today, these nearly 3,000 years later. Your bones are not dried up. You are not without hope, and you are never cut off from God. Allow God to renew you, to put you back together and re-strengthen you. Remember, you are God's people, and God is in charge. Amen. Our closing hymn, I'll ask Kathy to come back to the piano, is "Shalom to You," number 666 in your hymnal, if you have a hymnal. And we'll just sing this through one time as our closing. May the Lord go with you and keep you. May He hold you in His hands and give you peace. Amen.